So,
Yeah, do they not get the prospect of fantasy?
yeah, like if we could just have an all Skaven book with all Skaven characters and just like no one else, that would be really, really awesome.
We should do it, fan made. I
I
was
think.
threatening to bundle all the fluff together and put it on Amazon myself last time I talked to someone. And they were going, GW would sue us. Ah, stick my name on it. I don't care. Whatever, man.
Unless you just like, oh, these aren't Skaven, these are Blaven. They're my own original Ratman.
It's not Warpstone, it's Warpstone.
Oh my, they probably would. Games Workshop would probably all be all over that, but not before you sold a few copies, I bet.
Well, just do it for free. Just put it on for like 10 pence a copy, and just go, hey, it's Amazon. Probably the NSA listening in on us conversations. We always mention this. I'm not sure if it gets cut out of every podcast, but we always go, hey, NSA, hey, listening. Do you enjoy Skaven?
Hey, people tapping my conversation.
Yeah, it's Clan Eshin going. They're on to us.
I don't know what they would think if they ever did that. They'd probably just be like, wow, these people really, really like non-real things.
They're crazy.
It's like, well, hey, we didn't gain any information, but I know how to deploy a screaming bell now. I'm sorry, I could just picture two guys in a control room and one's just sitting there with this mortified look on his face.
The other one's playing
The other one's
Warhammer.
like, not now, I'm reading about strength in numbers.
Trying to get his plus one.
It's like, oh, you have something to say, roll the talk. Oh wait, that's D&D.
Ah, not far off. It was supposed to be like D&D to start with in the original volume.
Oh, really?
Yeah, didn't you know that the first edition of Warhammer was a roleplay game?
Oh, that'd have been awesome.
Yeah, it's like gold dust to get a copy.
Yeah. You know, the closest I've ever seen is at the store where everyone plays at here. The owner, like every Saturday, will do a Warhammer RPG, and like everyone gets a model, and they always have a scenario, so that's pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah, we don't have much in that way over here at the minute. I mean, I get rather frustrated, especially when I go on the forum and people are going, yeah, Blood Bowl. Yeah, Necromunda. Because I love those games and no one plays them here anymore. So it's just like, a game you can play in 30 minutes, it's fun and it's light-hearted and there's hardly any bickering. Why isn't it popular? Why isn't it popular? Makes no sense.
That doesn't make sense because, like, there's even tournaments for Blood Bowl down here.
Anyway, that's a
Oh, yeah,
tangent
weren't
topic.
we supposed to be talking about something?
I don't know, Skaven. We're on topic. We talk about Skaven. That's all that matters, isn't it?
30 minutes later, oh, I guess we were supposed to be on target. I can't even talk today. Look at that.
Yeah. I like it. It's the pressure. Are you feeling nervous? Your first episode.
I'm a little nervous, to be honest.
Oh, I'm sure they like you. I mean, you get loads of comments. As like, I posted on your Yes, what is it? Skaven Plight today, because for some reason I'd missed page 9, it completely slipped by me. There were Plague Monk going, oh, isn't it nice to see young Plague Monks being enthusiastic? I know that feeling.
I so know. It made me really happy when you guys were mentioning my comic and your comments. Like, I would have commented back, but usually when I comment just to reply, people get excited because they think it's an update. And it's not.
I
So
don't
to
think they
try.
get. I don't think they get that excited. It's just Ratty being giddy.
It does make me really happy that you guys really like my comic and you even did a mention on it. Oh, when I saw that feature, I screamed so loud.
Well, according to our stalker Ratty, because apparently he listens to the pods all the time, we have mentioned it every single podcast. I didn't even realize we had, but apparently I always mention it at some point. So there you go. We must like it if we mentioned it every single episode.
That makes me happy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, you should sell them. You should do some fan art t-shirts or something, man, because they're pretty cool.
Maybe one of these days, when I actually hit 20 comics or something.
Maybe.
So been a whole entire year and only 18 have been made.
That's pretty good going, to be fair. It's not exactly easy coming up with new ways to make Skaven seem crazy but plausible.
Yeah, then it's like real life, gotta be an adult, have responsibilities like a normal person.
Yeah, I did like the one on page 8, where I was like, what if we all allied together and didn't attack each other all the time? And the evil eye and kick him out. We're just like, this is what everyone thinks who reads the books.
It's like Skaven players will understand this. Yeah. Especially if you read the books, especially if you read Thankful books, it's like, if you just let each other, you know, accomplish something and not bicker, they would have taken over the entire world by now.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's like, well, thank goodness that they can't even trust each other to go get coffee, because we'd be all dead.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe you'd have a new uprising, the slave rebellion and overthrowing the Skaven. But, you know, because as soon as they took over the world, they'd start arguing about who's supreme ruler of the world, wouldn't they? They'd be going, well, we should have a new title. We should have something, shouldn't we? We should have, like, continental commanders or something. And then a global overseer. You know it happened. They'd just start bickering like mad.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the Council of 13. It'd be the Ultra Council of 13.
Yeah, the Overlords of 13. I think, don't we already have Overlords, though, I think?
I think we had the Grey Lords, but...
Wow, you really do lead a lot of the stuff. Not often, I meet someone who reads more stuff than me about Skaven.
I have so much fluff I read of Skaven, and it's not even remotely funny.
She says laughing.
Yeah, like growing up, I love Skaven so much. People are like, okay, you need to calm down. And yeah. I'm like my teacher one time took my Vermintide book, because I was reading it instead of doing classwork, and then after class she gave it back, and she's like, what on earth are you reading? Yeah. I pretty much have all the novels except the Dead Winter ones, because I can't find the first one.
Oh. Is a challenge there, find Dead Winter one?
No, it's like, I can find the second, and I think the third one just came out, I'm not sure, but for some reason, no one ever has the first one.
I'm sure it'll be around somewhere. Is it out of print? Another one of them?
Oh, I hope not. But, I don't know, I just seem to have poor luck with finding the first of anything. That's why I read Skaven Slayer instead of Troll Slayer first.
Yeah, well, I'm not even sure which one was first.
Troll Slayer.
Yeah, but it's got trolls in. Do you really want to read that?
Actually, I thought it was pretty good. Because it has a cat in it. The little girl that actually becomes a bigger part of the series later on.
It's been so long since I've read the Slayers. I've got the trilogy thing, but it's a long time ago. They've done audiobooks?
Yeah, I don't know how many, but I know Slayer of the Storm God is like the first audiobook.
Oh, well, I definitely need to jump on that, because I love audiobooks.
Do you imagine if they did a Skaven audiobook?
It'd have to be read by Ratty. I'm saying this. He's, when he talks, it just reminds me of a rat.
Does he really?
When he sniggers, he does a sniggery laugh thing. Have you not heard him?
He talks about it. He's like, apparently, I sound like a Skaven when I laugh, and I'm like, I don't hear it.
No, because he talks normal, but then he has this, like... It's hard. I'll have to dig through the videos and find where he actually does it and copy it out and go, this is Ratty being a Skaven. Because he just has this evil snigger.
I never hear it. He talks about this all the time, and I'm like, I don't see it.
Maybe you just don't bring out the evil in him.
Or maybe I do, and he's just really good at hiding it.
Well, he's British, isn't he? We're good at that kind of thing. We always play the bad guys.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
So, yeah, about 15 minutes ago, we said we were going off topic.
Yeah. Is this even recording?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like, well, we're going to talk about fluff, but not really.
Well, I tried to get everyone else to talk about fluff, but they just wanted to talk about what they've done on the forum. So
I could literally talk.
So... Yeah, we're doing pretty good so far.
Yay!
Have you got any pet rats, since you love rats so much?
I really want pet rats, but I can't have them right now. Yeah, I'm far too busy, and I don't want them to get sad.
they do require quite a lot of attention. But, fortunately for me, I am quite a nighttime person. So when you've won lottery and you've retired.
When I retired and, I become clan leader, when I become, the overseer clan Mordkin, that's when I'll have my rest.
Just stop buying the assassins off Silas. They don't work. You're better off with plague monks. Just full on brute force. Silas never seems to get the job done.
That's exactly how I imagine them too, because they're the only Skaven that actually likes working together, and they're so crazy and diseased that they'll just do it.
Oh, they're very worshipful, aren't they?
Yeah.
We talked earlier about, I say earlier on the other recording that will be merged with this one, about the history of it and how they've moved on from being like Nurgle minions to actual full-on worshippers of just death and plagues. Because back in the old books, it was all merged together. I don't know if you've got the old Warhammer books. I mean, have you actually got any of the rule books, or did you just purely fluff-based Skaven love?
What's the current edition that's out?
8.
Okay, we have the newest Skaven book and the one right before that, but I have not been able to find any of the older ones. But I've read one of the older ones that actually, it comes full circle right back to Thankful. It actually had a short story about Thankful on it and talking about like when he was a runt. I really miss that, because the new books don't really have a lot of short stories in them like the old ones.
Yeah, there does seem to be a bit of a switch in the stories. It's like the dark books that have had a lot of attention in the past, they've had a lot of small stories and things. They're just not getting it now. It's like they've gone, okay, this race is popular enough. They've pushed the writers into the other areas, because some of the stuff in the High Elf book and in the Lizardmen book is really good writing. It's really good stories. And then you compare it to the Skaven book, and I'm like, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
There's a distinct, lacking. I think it might just be that some races are overdone because they're popular. So they're trying to redistribute it. Or, what they'd probably say online is, well, you see, Skaven have already sold past the margin profit point, so they've moved on to another race to try and promote. But I'm pretty sure writers don't really work like that.
Yeah. I think, I forgot who mentioned this to me. So I had a conversation about this, and it was like, the Skaven were originally kind of like a joke race. It's like, they weren't supposed to be as big as they got, so there's probably no need to expand them.
Yeah, anyway, you were talking about Skaven not being a particular major race.
I think, my guess is that Games Workshop just, even though they were kind of like a joke race, and they weren't expecting them to get bigger, maybe they think that the Skaven have reached their, peak, and they're not gonna get bigger, so there's no point putting all that time and effort into trying to make them bigger.
There could be something to that, but I do know that initially they were supposed to be part of the Beastmen, and they were supposed to be the fifth Chaos race.
Oh, really?
And that all offshoots from what I read in third edition. Basically, they just got more and more popular. Because Chaos is all combat and magic, isn't it? So when they add Skaven and it's more about tactics and shooting and magic and different combinations and mad random stuff that doesn't always work, it added a new dimension to Chaos. And as they've developed it along, it was like, okay, then they don't really part of Chaos, they're being tricked into it. And then they add the Nurgle worshipping, the Plague Monks worshipping Nurgle, sorry. And the Great Horned One was supposed to be the Trickster God, which back in those days was Slaanesh, because Slaanesh was supposed to be the avatar of Cain, and he was supposed to be the Great Horned One. Mm. But now they've shuffled Slaanesh and T'Zinch around. So T'Zinch, rather than being the changer of ways, is a Trickster God. He's not really a mischief god, he just changes things. That's how it was placed in third edition. It was like, yeah, we could lose this battle, but actually, we're not gonna. You were like that. Now you see me, now you don't.
It makes more sense for Zeech to be it anyway, because, like, given Slaanesh's nature, that'd be kind of weird if Skaven were, like, his underlings, because, like, they're not into that. They're not into art or, you know, a lot of the hedonistic season two.
I think it was just a matter of the races that were around, and what they did was they divvied them all up and went secretly, these worship X, Y, and Z. You know, some of them secretly worshipped Khorne, some of them secretly worshipped T'Zinj, some of them secretly worshipped Slaanesh, and it all were based on that way back then. You know, you're talking like 81, so we've come on a while since then. So
yeah, a lot of world building since then.
Oh well, yeah, it's going 30 odd years now, isn't it, Warhammer?
Oh yeah, didn't lost my train of thought again.
But yeah, so they swapped the roles over so that it made more sense. So T'Zinj is the trickster god now, and the Great Horned One is actually the Great Horned One. The only thing that ever really I wanted to know is who is the Dark Wanderer, you know, that comes to Skavenblight and builds the Tower Bell.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about that. The dude that's responsible for
He's for like it. The archive founding father of all Skaven, and no one knows who he is, and it's never mentioned anymore. It's just like he came and gone, slipped into legend, and it's forgotten.
Yeah, he was the one, because the rats were just rats. And then they became Skaven. You're absolutely right. They never really brought that up. I wonder if they're going to fix that in the next book.
I doubt it. It won't have occurred to them. Or maybe they just don't want to say it's X, Y, and Z, and then all fans go, "It can't be! Why would Khorne build a bell?" Stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I'd be pretty upset too, because I really don't like the idea that the Horned Rat's not the Horned Rat. I like the idea that he's like his own thing. Because it's like, as much as I like the Chaos stuff, I don't like the idea of them being so involved with the world that they're meddling in other races to that extent. Like, can we just keep the Chaos doing what they're doing and let at least other races have their own thing?
Yeah, but the counter-argument to that is the Lizard Men are secretly messing around with everyone else, aren't they? So, you know, part of the things, especially it says in the new book, is that while the Slaan meditate, they can see the entire old world. So they're not just sleeping and they're unaware. It's not like the whole thing in 40K where, you know, whatever it's called.
The Emperor?
The Emperor is asleep in the Iron Throne or whatever. They are actually aware of the situation. They're aware and they're monitoring the major events as they unfold.
Yeah.
And even while they're asleep, they're talking to the ones that aren't asleep telepathically.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that they're meddling so much, but at the same time, it opens the door for saying, well, they're doing it, then Chaos could be doing it as well. But I do see what you're saying, and I think this is one of the things. I think people just get sick of Chaos, because there's so much one-dimensionalness to Chaos. I think Skaven became an offshoot, because I think originally they tried to say that the Horned One became a lesser demon of one of the Chaos gods, and then the book after, they just retconned it and went, no, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, they went, it's propaganda.
Yeah, like the farthest I like about the Chaos Gods being in Skaven culture is the fact that, you know, the Plague Monks do worship Nurgle, but there's actually a lot of evidence, if you look at some of the books, that they don't realize they're worshipping Nurgle. They legitimately think the Horned Rat is the Horned Rat, and they don't realize that it's not the Horned Rat.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that goes back to, like I was saying, in third edition, you could actually feel the Nurgle demon in your Skaven army.
Yeah.
And it were like, what? Plague Monks and the Great Unclean One?
I never really liked that, because it's like, if I wanted Chaos influence, I would play Chaos. Can I just have my Skaven the way they are?
Yeah, stop meddling, Games Workshop.
Stop ruining my army.
It's there's a lot of interesting topic points. I mean, well, I say this kind of stuff a lot, so I'm probably repeating myself, but I'll go over it just because we haven't said it to you Skype, and I wouldn't want to give the guys more airtime than you, because that'd be bias. one of the big things with the High Elves in their book is it says that they're going to go out in a blaze of glory because they can't win. They've determined that it's impossible, that they're losing ground all the time, and there's not enough High Elves, and there aren't enough new High Elves, so it's never going to happen.
That's fatalistic.
Yeah, well, that's what the Phoenix King says in the book. He says that he closes the war council. He like locks himself away in the chambers with his honor guard to come up with the battle plan. And what he says then is that if he can't find a solution, then he'll just take them all and he'll just kill every one of them. And he says he'll just go north and he'll just literally start at one point and he'll just start killing everything that comes in his path and just try and wipe chaos out in one massive swoop.
You know, for a race that prides itself on being holier than thou, that sounds very, very either chaosy or humanish in logic.
Well, they're having to fight these prolonged silly combats that they can't win.
That's true.
So playing defense doesn't work if the enemy are never going to stop attacking.
That's true.
So I think that's his mentality.
That is
But that don't really interest me so much as the knock-on effect would, because if the Phoenix King and all the Phoenix Guard and all the Swordmasters and everyone goes north and they fight chaos and whatever happens and then all the High Elves die, it has a massive ramification issue, because what happens in Ulthuir then? If no one's in Ulthuir, right?
Mm-hmm.
Either the High Elves could go home. I mean, the Wood Elves could go back home to Ulthuir if they wanted, possibly. But I doubt they're going to do that, since they didn't want to leave the woods anyway, which is why they stayed. Or you could have like this knock-on chain reaction thing with Malekith, where he goes, "Oh, I hate you, Phoenix King, but you're dead, so I don't know what to do now."
Dress in the Eldar army, how they made the transition from fantasy to space?
I have no idea. It's all supposed to be based within one universe, isn't it? Contained in 40k, it has some kind of explanation at one point that the Warhammer world is in like a pocket galaxy. It's surrounded by black holes and stuff, so you can't get there by normal means, and that the Necrons killed the old ones, which controlled the Lizardmen.
What?
Yeah. That's how complicated it gets. But
are you serious? That's really what it is?
Yeah. The gods of the Necrons, whatever they're called, the Catan thing.
Yeah.
They fought the old ones, which made the Lizardmen race. Right. There's a direct reference to it in the Necron book, because they hunt down the old ones and kill them all.
What?
Yeah.
I don't read 40k. There's all this stuff in it.
It's just 40k is just insane, crazy.
That's why I stick with my orcs in 40k, because there's nothing complicated about them.
Orc fight, orc smash.
That's literally it. And that's why I don't read 40k, because I tried to once and there was just so much background and exposition. I was like, I can't do this. Like, my dad tried explaining Horus to me. I'm like, so he was a space marine, but he wasn't really a space marine. He was touched by chaos, but not really, and he kills his dad almost. And then there's brothers. That's all I can get.
All right. Well, that's kind of. Horus was the Emperor's best mate, trusted to do whatever, and chaos converted him, and then he kills him.
Oh.
They're not really sons. They're made. The founding fathers of the chapters were made by the Emperor. So they're not really his kids. But yeah, I can see where you're going with that. But they were more like brothers. And you treat them like brothers. You know.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's Star Wars, isn't it? No, you can't be my father.
You're my
chaos. Anyway, now we've managed to get into 40k territory.
We're beyond fantasy now. We've descended into madness that is 40K.
Yeah, run away!
This is why I stick with fantasy, because it's one world and there's no space travel.
Well, that was it. I always thought that fantasy was separate to 40K until they did the whole Necron thing. And I was like, but why even mention that? You know what I mean? It's not like you can take your lizard men and use them in a game of 40K. So, God knows. It just seems bizarre. And half-assed as well, because they went and killed the old ones so that they weren't a threat anymore, but didn't wipe out their prodigy, the Slann.
That's... I don't know. I don't know how any of that works, so I'm just going to nod and smile.
Right. That's cyber nodding and smiling for those listening.
Wow. I had no idea that it was developed that much. Like, I actually, for some reason, thought a lot of it was open-ended about how everybody in the old world made the transition to space, because I always connected the two universes. I was just like,
well, that's what I always thought originally, and it always seemed that, you know what I mean, because you've got all the races, and then the races go to space and whatever, and go, oh, well, fuck this planet, let's just leave, you know. But turns out no, it's all simultaneous, kind of. It is described somewhere in one of the old books. It's something like there's 7 black holes around the area where the old world is. And it's making this shield wall. And it's like, yeah, but 40K is forever, isn't it? It's in the grim dark future of forever. Sooner or later, those black holes are going to end and you'll be able to get through.
Yeah.
So, unless the magical black holes...
Unless, you know, they're made by the trickster god, Zeech, and then in which case, we'll never figure out what's going to happen. Unless, what is it? He has a castle in a maze that you have to solve by answering a riddle. I think that's what it was.
I've not heard of that one.
Oh, I think it's in the the Libera Chaotica, I think it's called. Like the big chaos book, and it's filled with artwork and fluff, and it's like a guy who's like, I'm going to write down all my hallucinations about the chaos realms.
Oh, yeah, the guy they put in the asylum. Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. It was like a prophet, really, wasn't it? Because he tried to warn everyone about everything, and they just said, you're batshit crazy.
Yeah, they're like, you know, you're just crazy. We're going to disregard everything about what you're saying.
Yeah. Isn't that the same with one of the Skaven books as well? I seem to recall that one of the Skaven... Love Some Rat Men, I think it was. I think that there's quite a few stories in there from a guy who is locked away in an asylum, and everyone's like, he's crazy. And it's like...
In the rule book, if you look on the page that has like the only existing artwork of a female Skaven, there's a quote from the crazy guy where he's like, I see them all the time, they're everywhere, and it's like, oh, the madman when he was locked away in his cell.
There's a female Skaven in the Warhammer book?
Yeah, I forgot which edition it is, but it's either 7 or 8. And if you look, there's a page, and it's just an artwork of, it's the artwork of page, a page of artwork. And like a big bloated Skaven surrounded by little Skaven, and then like a couple of other regular Skaven, and that is the only artwork we've ever had of a breeder.
Oh, that's got me intrigued now. It's just going to annoy me some.
we don't get a lot of stuff on female Skaven. Like, there's a small bit on them in Children of the Horned Rat and a small mention of them in a couple other books, but nothing too big.
Yeah, it does make you wonder what actually kind of breed is. I mean, how many are they? You know, because if the Skaven are always expanding, then surely the breeders get captured at some point. When a clan falls, there must be conversion time, isn't there? It's joiners or die. So,
yeah, they don't think, though. They're constantly drugged up, so they can't even talk. They're just these bloated monsters that are used as breeding and currency. And when a clan takes over another clan, they just take their breeders, because it's like, oh, we can put these in our stock. Female Skaven are treated, and I think they have a lot of potential to be actual characters, you know, but given the nature of Skaven, they probably won't be anytime soon.
Oh yeah, definitely, because it's just... Well, you don't know what's going to happen. If they actually were realistic with it, and everything changed and everything went on, you know, some races would have to meet their ultimate demise. So from the sounds of that, the High Elves would go, possibly the Wood Elves. I don't know what would happen with the Dark Elves. Honestly, couldn't peg that one. They could become good guys. It's really subjective, because the whole thing is based on the hatred of, you know, the Phoenix King dissing him and everything else. And if that doesn't happen anymore, then where does their allegiance lie?
Yeah, so that's true.
There's all sorts of weird little things like that. Well, it's like real life, isn't it? Countries have had wars for ages. Now look at us, EU, you know, United Nations of countries. Countries that have spent hundreds of years at war with each other. It's just weird how things change over time.
Yeah.
But I think for some fans, you can't please everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's always going to complain. If they decided to change it, it's like if they killed off the High Elves, they'd piss off all the High Elf fans, wouldn't they? So,
yeah.
You know, unless it all got funneled into Wood Elves going hoo-ha, you know, whatever.
I think it's safe to say the only thing that doesn't really change in Warhammerverse are the orcs. The only thing they've gotten out of this is guns.
Yeah. I want to know what Skaven are in 40k, damn it. Every other freaking race is...
Oh, that's what I was going to say, really. Someone a long time ago said that there was a small bit of fluff, and it was about a race, I forgot what they're called, but they heavily resemble Skaven.
Yes. Oh, God. What book is it in? There's some artwork of 40k Skaven. They are a minor race that have joined the Tau faction.
Mm-hmm.
But you never see them.
And, like, they have big... bloated versions of them, and I think it said like they all wear like helmets or something. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, I've seen some like updated Jezails basically, and updated Plague Monks and stuff like that. I can't remember what book it was. I think it was actually a 40k book. But yeah, well, at least those ones are a part of Tau. I don't know if they've done any others, but I don't really keep up with 40k anymore, you see, but. I do know at one point there were, like, this very minor thing where they were going to do Skaven in 40k, but then at the last minute they just went, they're too similar to orcs, so they didn't. But then, just to piss me off, they released Tyranids, which have all these, you know, strength in number rules, and we've got to stick together, and I was like, oh, this doesn't sound like Skaven at all.
Like, no, it's cool, it's cool. They're only just slightly like Skaven. Thanks, Games Workshop.
Well, I think what they did with the Nids is they went, we need a new army, what can we do? And someone went, well, we've got all these half-written 40k Skaven rules.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't we just finish these off and rip off aliens? I don't know. They're 40k-ish enough, aren't they? I think that's what happened, and the Nids were born. But I don't know, it's probably the only thing that'd save 40k for me if they put Skaven in it. I'd play 40k. It doesn't matter how bad the game is. I know it's terrible at the minute. I was at a game the other day, and... two guys behind me were playing 40k, and I was just like, I'm not going to say anything because it's a pile of donkey shit. And literally every 5 minutes they were arguing about a rule, and I was like, what?
Oh, see, I never really saw that. I don't play, so I really wouldn't know, but it would also kind of make sense to have Tyranids anyway, because you have all these other races that are, like, you know, like, sentient, and it's like, why not just have a race that just doesn't think like everybody else and different weapons and rules. So,
well, the thing about the Nids are probably the only plausible race in 40k, because they are rolling evolution, self-contained. There's none of this, what if their own will gets destroyed because they ain't got one. They just, you know, go forth, kill, add to yourselves, your collectiveness, mutate it, and carry on and just keep going. And that's what they do. Which makes new releases logical, because they're going to adapt to the new weapons they're coming up against and stuff like that. So the new monsters are justified. It's not. It sounds less like Games Workshop just going, buy this, it's shiny. It's like they've evolved to the next level, you know.
Well, that means, like, they'd be, like, a antagonist to, like, every other race. Like, there's no way you can ally with them. Like, in a, if we're going by, like, a fluff sense.
Shu comes in peace but shoots to kill. It's a trap.
I'm leaving the planet now, goodbye.
Send in the slaves armed with Semtex.
Just get some raid, you'll be fine.
Till they evolve.
Till they evolve against the raid. Yeah, I'm like terrified of Tyranids. Like they freak me out. I move to another galaxy, I'll be fine.
Oh, dear me. Yeah, somehow we're talking about 40K now.
I know. You were supposed to be talking about fluff, but well, that's how you know you had a good conversation with somebody when you're way off topic.
Well, we've been talking about fluff. We've just kind of drifted a bit. All right then, let's try and set course for home. Right. Other than your own topics on the Under Empire, are there any particular fluff bits that you like? Since, I tried to get everyone to talk about fluff and all they did was talk about the forum. So
Like a fan-written works, or
yeah, well, Silas was groaning on about his chasm thing that he wrote and how he wants
flat.
feedback, damn it, because he spent a lot of time on that.
I know what you're talking about, the Black Chasm project, where it was supposed to be like develop this whole Skaven city with like all the inner clans working together. I saw that topic. It was a I didn't give feedback to it because I'm really, really bad at making like fluff for like areas. I'm like more character based. So yeah, if anyone wants to help out with that, I think they're still looking for help because there's a lot to that project that could use like a lot of fluff and elaboration. And because it's such a big project, that's why they wanted feedback. So I think it was like what, like 30 clans alone, and like I can't even remember. That's how big it was.
Let's see.
It was a really cool project, like very, very beyond anything I could probably do.
Yeah, there's no, it's not that many. It's like 130 clans.
Oh my goodness. How I can't even keep track of five clans. I can't imagine doing that many.
Because he's listed out all the clan names.
Yeah, really, really good project. So that does need a lot more attention to help that come to completion.
Well, I'm not sure if Silas is declaring it completed since he spent so much on it.
Yeah, he put a lot of work into that. It's really crazy. My hat's off to him.
Just having a quick scroll through it, looking at the comments.
We
Ah,
should at least.
you commented on it in June.
Oh my gosh, has it been that long? Yeah, that was a huge project, and I was just like, I don't even know if I can do anything to help.
Yeah, it's the last post was in June.
Yeah, there's a lot of different projects. Oh, sorry, that was my phone.
Sorry, I just thought I was going mad. Nothing new there.
There's a lot of projects on the fluff section, and we've been trying to have like a lot more story competitions to get more people involved in that. And every fluff competition we've had has some like awesome fluff too. So if anyone ever wants to read some really good short stories, that is what you should look into.
Yeah, we definitely need to push it a little bit if that's what you want to do. But that's like I say, if you want people to write stories and that, then you need idiot-proof user guides and stuff because it's just I don't know what's over the top and what's not, and you kind of need to lay those foundations for people so that they've got a good starting point that's solid. We are having to ask too many questions because then you're
Oh, yeah.
dependent on people replying and getting the right answer and them not answering your question with a question and all that kind of stuff. So it's just better to be thorough and methodical about it, and then you can have a nice solid reply. I mean, they are supposed to be writing some kind of guide for me. I don't know whether they're gonna put it on the pod or they're gonna put it on the forum, but I did say do an idiot guide, and they went, yeah, we'll think about it. So
Yeah.
yeah, you heard that, guys. It's January 2014. Let's see how long it takes. Silas at this point would say, well, we don't get paid to do this. It's ingrained into me. I've been talking to him for that long. I've got to say it now.
Well, I think they do a good job on the story competitions because it's really simple. They give you a theme, you just incorporate it, and they're like, okay, don't put anything too over the top gore-wise, or don't put anything sexual in it, and just make sure it's about Skaven. Here are the guidelines, at least 500 words minimum.
Sounds quite practical.
Oh yeah, it's very flexible too. So that's always good for contests where you have to do something like writing, so you're not like railroaded into doing one type of thing.
Black library style.
Yeah, Yes, essentially. I'm sorry, I just pictured somebody listening to this from Black Library going, guys, they're on to us. They
Release
know
the
they're going to.
assassins.
Like, some inclination, we have work for them.
Brilliant. So, yeah, I mean, that's the basics. Is there anything else you'd like to go over? Do you think we've missed anything?
No, nothing I can think of after, all the different topics we got to cover.
What do you mean? Fluff, books, fantasy, 40K, crossover universes, alternative timelines,
Gods.
old books, the evolution of the Skaven God. Yeah, we've covered a couple of topics, you could say.
We did good.
So, have you enjoyed being on the pod then?
Oh, I did. I was so excited to be on the pod. So thank you so much for having me on.
But,
Aw.
there's me, you, Mork, and Silas are all on this one. Oh no, and Ratty. Ratty was on.
This is one of the few internet forums I've actually been on where the members are actually really nice and the admins are really helpful.
But yeah, they're pretty good on the Under Empire. I can't complain. You know, they're a bit slack sometimes, but I think at the same time, that's probably some of the good things about the Under Empire is the level of involvement the members have. Because, well, we've got a fairly active board considering the situation. I mean, it's been a long time since we've had the Skaven book out.
Yeah.
There are other more general Skaven things. The forum has shied away from stuff. I mean, I've been saying this for ages. If we had a trading section before 8th edition came out, the forum would have been flooded in new members trying to get rid of other Island of Blood Skaven.
Yeah, the I kind of can't help but feel that even so, we'd have like a lot of people who would just sign up and then disappear.
Well, yeah, but we get that anyway. It's
That's true.
getting them through the door is part one. And I'm self-employed. You've got to get them through the door, then you make a good impression, then some of them will come back, and then you can build on that, and then people invite friends, and it's a knock-on effect, and it's building momentum. I'm very
Oh yeah.
business orientated, in case you can't tell.
Like, I've had the most positive experience on the forum that I've had in a long time, and I've been on the internet for about 7 years, and I've actually been on a forum where one of the administrators thought it was okay to harass members.
Yeah, oh, there's just this so much weird things going on the internet. You see, for me, the internet is very liberating. A lot of people use it to abuse people and be arsey, but from my point of view, I don't know. It breaks down barriers, I think, because I never think of you guys as Americans and Chinese and Russian and European or whatever. I just think of you as people. You know, people are, and it shouldn't matter. You know, I never think of those kind of things. It's only in recent years, with Facebook and things like that. I mean, I got in contact with someone I knew from like 1995 the other day via Facebook. Never occurred to me that they lived in another country or that they weren't English and all that. And I was just like, wow, this is like a whole new world for me because I just thought you were people. It's
Oh,
just,
yeah.
it's liberating. I don't find the internet to be like, whereas you go on most forums and everyone's just being fucking angry and bitter. And it's just so annoying. But anyway, I'm on a tangent here about forums.
No, it's, I completely understand, because it's like, without the internet, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah. I'd probably think you were a dude if we didn't have Skype.
Oh, you're a disappointment to the council. How dare you?
I'm the traitor. They didn't approve of my undead Skaven, so screw you.
It's like if I can't have my fluff, then I'm not going to give you any satisfaction.
Yeah. I was so disappointed with that because, I got to admit, it was one of my first fluff things, and the misery of some people And it just seems that some people just aren't interested. Some people just want to buy the books without any stories in it at all, just the rules so they can play the game.
Yeah, it's all a matter of taste.
But I don't know if that would be a good thing or a bad thing, because I think you need to understand the race, don't you? You need the fundamentals of what is behind them.
Yeah, it's kind of like how people LARP. Like, some people get really big into story and character building, and other people just want to beat each other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm being sensible. I'm waiting until I finish my degree at uni, and then I'll decide what I want to do. I've got some terrapins. I'm still pro lizard man.
Oh, nice.
Hello.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
So, what have you got for us? What have you been working on?
Oh, I was just thinking about ways that people who haven't written much could start thinking about writing fluff and sort of the process I use to get it down, sort of thing. It's kind of like deconstructing it. Mostly.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. And so I was starting with the assumption that most people don't really write fiction very often, which I think is a fair assumption.
Definitely.
So I was mostly thinking about the process of how I write my books, but scaled down, it's really the same process for writing fluff, with the exception of one, how you interact with the world. But what I was thinking is that fluff is really made up of any kind of writing in fiction is made up of three parts, which is the characters, the plot, and the world, and that they all come together to interact to tell a story. And then a lot of people choose to focus on one of those three aspects, even though a story needs all three. But a lot of times people will bring out one of them. Usually I bring out the world aspect of it, which is part of the reason I've moved away from writing I write a lot less fluff now, because I like creating my own world, and it's a pain to have to deal with the established lore sometimes. But so for writing fluff, like in the Warhammer world, the world is really taken, a lot of that's taken care of for you, because Games Workshop has put all this work into creating this really detailed and fantastic world. And so usually your extent of interaction with the world, all that really has to be is, what part of the world am I going to set the story in? And usually it can come as the last thing that you decide in a story. But the best starting place, I think, for anyone who wants to write fluff is to start with the characters. And so it's also one of the most fun parts. You just have to come up with a voice for your story, because usually a story will center around one or more people. And so figuring out who it is you want to center your story around is really important. And one of the most, I think it's the most important part of any fluff writing, because it's the characters that will usually keep people's interest, and it gives people something to relate to when they're reading. And it's the characters are what will keep people reading, and in theory should be driving the story. And so the first part of any good fluff piece, I think, is deciding on who the characters are, who the major players are. If you're just starting, usually it's easiest to focus on one character. And so you just have to decide where he is, that's part of the world thing, what he does, and most importantly, what his goals are. Because most people have immediate and distant goals, and they're trying to work towards them. And ideally, a piece of writing, a piece of fluff, should be about a character trying to meet his goals in its most simple, formulaic way. And so then you have a character. He has a background. You should give him some kind of history. You should know where he's coming from. And he's trying to get somewhere. And then the fluff is essentially a description of how he's trying to get to that place, his goal. And the plot is what happens to him on the way to reaching that goal. Usually, in turn, the simplest fluff, it's just a character. He has an obstacle in the way of his goal, and he has to overcome this obstacle to reach his goal. Simplest thing. If you have multiple characters, that obstacle is often the interactions between characters when conflict and competition. And that in and of itself can often be enough to drive the plot. If you have a good enough character, sometimes he actually makes his own obstacles, and you don't even really have to try to come up with a plot. But most of the time, you do have to think about what's going to happen to your character, what difficulties is he going to have to deal with in achieving his goals. There is another way to approach it, and have you ever seen the anime Bakano?
No, I don't think so.
No. Well, it has a very unique approach to developing a plot, which works really well if you have a very strong sense of character, which is that you create several larger-than-life characters, and you just put them all in one place and just see how they interact with each other and see what happens, and then a plot kind of unravels from that, which is, if you come from a very strong role-playing background, it's a very good way to get a plot going. Just because then you don't often have to really think about convoluted anything or what should I throw in front of him, because the characters will often do that for you. And Bakano is just a really good example of that kind of thing. And so you have a character. The character has to deal with something or another character, which is the plot. And then they're all doing this in a setting, which is the world. And presumably, if you're writing fluff on the Under Empire, it's some kind of setting in the Warhammer world and probably in the Skaven Under Empire. So you just have to think about how all of those things will come together to tell your story. And I just had a little example that I came up with for how you might do this. And being extremely cliche, we're going to have a Greasier apprentice who used to be part of Clan Mulder, who was a very promising Whiteford runt. He was sent to Skavenblight to the Greyseers, who took him in. He was eventually assigned a master. He's been doing very well. But, of course, being a Skaven, he wants to rise up in the ranks. And so that is his goal. His goal is, say, to become a Greyseer. So that's the basic character. And now you want to know how he's going to try to achieve his goal. Well, in Skaven society, here we're going to use the setting, the way to advance is typically by killing your superior. So he's going to try to kill his superior. And how is he going to do this? Well, maybe because he's from Clan Mulder, he maybe picked up a little bit of his Muldering background, and maybe he combines his skills of Muldering and his newly learned skills of magic to create some kind of super giant rat. And if his master has a bunch of pet rats, he'll slip the rat in, and then that rat will do in his master, and then he'll get the position. And let's say then this Greyseer is a little bit arrogant and gets a little bit too big for his shoes, and he decides he wants to be the only Greyseer. And so in kind of a expansion of the plot into the turning one-off fluff piece maybe into a larger series, he decides he wants to also get rid of the other Greyseers. And so he starts offing the other Greyseers one by one and replaces their bodies with like a sort of Greyseer Mulder construct who kind of takes their place. And then, of course, you need to have something thrown in his way. And they can do this often by introducing another character, whether he's a main or not. So in this case, maybe there's an Inquisitorat who's investigating the strange behavior of all of the Greyseers, and he eventually stumbles upon the actions of this errant newly made Greyseer, and he's going to struggle to stop him and out him and reveal him to everyone, which would naturally put a dent in our protagonist's plans. And so the two of them have to come to grips with each other, and then eventually someone will win, and right there you have a lot of potential to do stuff with whatever you want in terms of fluff. So the real starting point to writing fluff is getting a good character, figuring out what he wants to do, figuring out how he's going to do it and what's going to get in his way, and then choosing a place that's going to happen and then just go from there. That's how I approach writing fluff, and I think it's a fairly good way to start. A lot of people, I think Silas mentioned in an earlier meeting that what he did was he would choose a general in his army or a character he likes to use and sort of develop this background to that character and then use them as the center of the stories. And that's a really good way to tie in fluff to the actual games you play. And Taz gave the example of fluffing up battle reports is a good way to start. And that's a prime example of this as well. You have a character, you have a general, his goal is short term to win this battle, this battle happens. The enemy is the force that the general has to overcome, and then you write about how he overcomes it, or in some cases how he doesn't overcome it. And that's just, that's fluff right there. So, and one other point I wanted to make, Roddy and I actually, it's a shame he's not here right now.
Actually, he says if you give him a couple of minutes, he'll pop on.
Oh, that's good, because Roddy and I were having a conversation the other day about the role of the background and lore in fluff writing, and we had extremely divergent views on how to approach it. So, until he comes on, the other thing I had to say to anyone who wants to start writing fluff is that they need to not be afraid to get stuff down. So a lot of people don't want, are afraid of criticism, and so they'll keep a lot of their ideas in writing to themselves. But people are, at least in the Under Empire, they're pretty friendly. And so if you put your stuff out there, people will comment on it. And as long as you get develop a little bit of a thick skin, you can actually learn a lot from what people will say. And the most important thing, if you ever want to, if you want to keep writing, is to write. It's the only way. It's really the only way you get better. Whatever your first. The first stuff you write will always be pretty awful, no matter who you are or where you're coming from. But all it really takes is practice and feedback, and you'll get a lot better. And, yeah.
I think that was a pretty concise breakdown on where to start from it. I mean, I talked to someone else who is... pod, and we were talking about some character ideas I'd had in the past, and I think some people are just put off fluff by people who don't do fluff, because they're like, well, why are you doing that? That's stupid.
I think it adds a whole layer of depth to the game. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of pushing statues around and rolling dice without any context. I mean, to some extent, I think everyone who plays the game is drawn in by the lore and background. And fluff is just a way for players to further expand that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, back in the day, way back when I started, I used to buy the White Dwarf. I didn't actually know anyone who played Warhammer. I used to buy it from W.H. Smith's. And I used to read it, and... You know, back then, the White Dwarf was awesome. And, well, now it's... Yeah, that's a different topic.
Now it's a catalogue.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was really good. They had fluff sections, they had battle reports, they had army ideas. And
I remember looking at the older White Dwarfs and being envious.
Yeah, well, I've still got a cupboard full of mine, I think. Just
that's good. I think mine are all recycled.
Ooh,
I don't know.
Heresy.
It wasn't my fault. I didn't know where they went. I was away at uni, and then when I got back home, they were all gone. Parents didn't understand.
Yeah. No, you're all right. You know Transformers? I had every single original Transformer model. Right.
Wow.
And I was at uni, and I was dead and dying, so I went home. Mm. And I was sat on the couch at home, I'm dying, and one of these programs came on where they sell old stuff, you know, like Cash in the Attic and that, and they brought on these battered Transformers and said how much they were worth, and I was like, oh my God, I was like, well, where are my Transformers, where have you put them? And my mum just went, well, you weren't using them, so I gave them away to kids on the street. I just, I could have exploded. It's like, you do realise you could have bought a car, house extension, probably with all of them, you know.
Yeah. The story is save everything.
Yeah. Never throw anything away. Why do you hoard anything? Because one time, way back when, I was scorned out of about £7,000. But, yeah, that seems a pretty solid breakdown. I have a question for you, and this is because I got asked it, and I wasn't sure what the response is. What is your definition of fluff?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
It's not very one I'm qualified enough to answer, because fluff originally means like a filler piece, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's a word with embrace in the Warhammer community to mean, you know, fanfiction.
Yeah, I think that's really what it is. I mean, it's, I think part of it comes, why we call it fluff is because it was, it kind of adds on, it's kind of like an addition to existing, the existing background Games Workshop has come up with, and so it's like fluff, it fluffs it up, makes it bigger. But it also, fluff is kind of, it's a kind of derogatory word, at least in its initial usage. And I mean, fanfiction also has this connotation. And it's just kind of like something, it's like kind of comes from this idea of like not illegitimate writing, kind of like this idea that you're sort of writing, you're writing in someone else's world, and therefore for some reason a lot of people find that that makes you less of a writer. It's kind of this stigma attached to it. But I mean, if you're writing fluff with in a Warhammer community, no one is going to. The stigma is really in the larger writing world, and I think it's just kind of, the people who write fanfiction and fluff just kind of took that stigma and embraced it and made it their own, which is nice, because it's kind of actually pretty, people can get very vitriolic in their bashing of fanfiction and fluff. But yeah, I think the best definition of fluff is really fanfiction. Not really a, I mean, the most hard definition we have was the Loremath, I can't remember the employee's name, the Loremaster for the Storm of Chaos campaign said that offhandedly, sort of, every time someone uses the word fluff instead of background, a kitten dies. So if your writing kills a kitten, it's fluff.
We'll have to ask the fluff writers if they like animals or not.
No.
And that might not bother most Skaven, since Skaven don't like cats.
No. I'd imagine the elves would like cats. They seem like they'd get along.
I don't know. It's probably big cats, yeah, I can see that, but
not. I don't know, they have the same, like, aloof, kind of aloof. They tend to not interfere with the outside world except when people poke them. Oh, those also seem very feline elves.
Yeah, cats just go around and they kill things. So that's dark.
I mean, that's the other thing. Yeah. And dark elves. Dark elves.
Yeah. When they're being chilled out, they're just elves. When they're going to kill a bird, they're a dark elf cat. Discrimination among cat kind.
Hello.
How was your water, Chris?
Still got it. Pint full.
Water.
Yeah, this is the one who's got Nemo. No, not says the one. Yeah.
No.
So let me get my brain thing working.
We've just done a. You did a very concise description of how we would describe a piece of fluff, and we had a little natter, and then I asked him how he would define fluff. How would you define fluff as a thing? Because I got asked what exactly it was, and I was like, how do I explain what fluff is?
It's a strange thing you find in your belly button, isn't it?
Lint.
Well, I know there's the whole argument over even, should you even call it fluff, really? No, some people get quite annoyed whenever sort of, what was the quote again? Whenever someone uses the word fluff, a small kitten dies.
Yeah, wow, no one said that before.
Hey, well, hey, did you say sorry, Mark?
I just brought that up like 10 minutes ago. With my definition of fluff, if the kitten dies when you write it, it's fluff.
And I said, would it really bother Skaven? Because Skaven, I'd imagine, don't really like cats.
Shall we say a favoured rat hound dies?
Maybe, that might upset Skaven more.
Oh, when you invest that many warp tokens in it. Definition of fluff, though. I mean, that's really a hard one, really. I mean, the sort of first part in the forum sort of topic, more the fan fiction bit, it's really essentially, I'd say, more of the fan fiction at any rate, usually with some getting your fingers a little bit into the lore side as well, maybe slightly subverting or sort of bending it a bit around how your story works. I know Mork's very good at sort of doing a lot of lore and god bending and that.
Yeah, that's actually what I was talking about. I was talking about the what I consider the three elements of fluff writing, which are character, plot, and setting, at least in how I break it down. And then I mentioned we had some disagreements on how to best use setting in the writing, in terms of like background and lore.
Yes, because we're actually very different, you and me, with how we sort of view lore. You actually sort of subverted. I'm subverted by it.
Yeah,
I lock myself within the cage, and whenever I'm writing her fluff, I try and keep a very wary eye on how the lore is, and I will actually do my best not to really touch any properly sort of embedded named characters or sort of their clans really so much, because I'm a little fearful my interpretation of it might not exactly sort of work with the sort of overall interpretation. I'm a little bit tentative like that.
No more that I like to take the lore and just run with it and see. Just run ripshod over it and interpret it in my own way. And I'm no qualms about using established character. I mean, one of the story competition things I wrote was all Council of 13 members as the characters.
I know, that was very good, that one. Yes, in the same story competition as well, I copped out at the end of in my one. It's Drisk it's either Drisk or it's sort of Vitchit or something like that. There's two different names for him, Iron Scratch, the Lord of Decay of Clan Scurvy. My story is based around him. Let's see, if I find the thing anyway. Ah, I think I found it, just like that. Yes, I bring in then the character, and I seem to then actually be doing a full description of everything, getting the character of Biscuit or Rich Iron Scratch. There's two different names that people like using. And then as soon as then I do this whole sort of brief fight scene and all that, I then cop out right at the end, spoilers of course, it sort of then turn out that it isn't actually him at all, and he's sort of pretending to be him on the actual orders, the real sort of Lord of Decay. Because I'd never actually write a Lord of Decay. I'm dying to be terrified. Sorry.
Oh, which month was that?
That was June to July, though. Yeah. I'm a little bit of a frat whenever I do these. I know Sire's got so annoyed he did. Because technically, it's actually May, June, it should be. Because that's the actual writing month, then, is the May to June period. But then, through the space about from the 31st, or basically the 1st of June, up until basically the right at the end of the start of July, that was when you then have then the a month worth of voting. So I'll just take the piss and put it as June to July for the voting. Really going, oh, why are you doing it like that? You should make it more sort of simplified. No.
You actually kind of did write the Lord of Decay in her story. He did speak.
I did, just for...
Very briefly. His voice.
As he retired to his cabin, Iron Scratch gave a satisfied grin. He bent down and fiddled inside a battered wooden chest. He then withdrew a small black orb from a hidden compartment. Gently he placed it on a similarly hidden holder to keep it stable and waited for it to begin to glow. When it did, he prostrated before the shadow figure that appeared in the orb. "Is it done?" hissed a voice dripping with age. Yes, yes, spoke Kind of Scratch. Your foe thing is dead. The shadowed figure shook slightly with mirth. And they actually believed you were I? The Skaven nodded quickly quickly looking rather pleased with himself. Good, good. You have once again done me great, great service, Master Irons. I look forward to hearing your full account back in Skavenblight. After all, you aren't name called the Iron Hook of Scurvy for nothing. Because you get more of the symbolism, I find, really, with more of it's meant to be Iron Scratch. He's got the hook. That is sort of always in the symbolism you keep sort of seeing whenever Scurvy are sort of mentioned. It was Werner's book, I think. Which one was it? That would have been Fankle's Dome, he mentions. They're alluding to Clan Scurvy has basically got this iron hook that's over the bellies of all the Skaven kind. More or less just how they're supplying everyone with food and sort of materials that everyone's relying. If they ever sort of drew that hook in then, Skaven kind would suffer quite a lot.
Mm.
They're not thinking about warp rails or sort of any other Scryer sort of technology. So yeah. Is that a good enough description there, Dan, of what Fluff is?
It's all pretty good. I mean, hearing it, I think, makes it a lot more understandable for people than written interpretation, because you can misinterpret things. I mean,
oh yeah,
just look at some of the arguments about rule interpretation. You know, it's far easier to grasp things. And like I said, we started off with a really good, concise description of how to start a character and what to base it on. So I think that is pretty solid description wise. I'd just like to thank everyone for participating in the podcast today. We've had Ratty, Mork, Silas and Shinua. I don't really think it would have been the same without you guys. So thank you for the time and effort you put in, especially Mork, who went away and did us a breakdown of what Fluff is and then came back and recorded it before we actually got this aired. So thanks to everyone for contributing, and we'll see you soon. Thanks, bye.